Hey, y'all, it's Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. Ever order furniture online and wonder, what if? Like, what if it doesn't fit?
Little to the left. No, wait!
Yep, should have gone with Wayfair. Or what if it doesn't hold up?
That sofa was 4 days old.
Should have ordered from Wayfair. Or what if it's that material that makes that noise?
It was a sofa, I swear.
With Wayfair, there's no what if. Just style you love, quality you can trust, and furniture that actually fits your life. Visit Wayfair.com or download the Wayfair app.
Wayfair. Every style, every home.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas has styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
Springtime is almost here, and if you've been itching to redo every room in your home, Bob's Discount Furniture can help. When you shop at Bob's, you get wow-worthy everyday low prices on fabulous furniture for every room. Everything from stylish mid-century dining sets and top-rated Bob-O-Pedic mattresses with the best warranties in the business to pop-up sleeper sectionals, all for a fraction of what they cost elsewhere. So, stop in or shop online and get wow-worthy pieces for less. Only at Bob's.
888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. For those of you just tuning in, because you think I usually start at 2, where you been? You missed the first hour. A little bit of college football. A little bit more about being pissed off that the Giants could be drafting all the way up to 7. A little bit of the quarterback bowl that will be Dante Moore and Fernando Mendoza. When Oregon takes on Indiana. Now, I can't help. I always say it. When I say it, I know I say it. Oregon. And I don't know if it's Oregon, Oregon. But I say Oregon ever since I saw Scent of a Woman. When he goes, you think you are sending this poor boy back to Oregon with his tail between his legs. I say you are executing his soul. So now every time I say Oregon, that's how I say it, Oregon. You think you're sending this boy back to Oregon with his tail between his legs? So I can't help myself. So I'm an Oregon guy. It's just that. But McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 204-888-808-1019. We'll get to the baseball in a little bit. We got some calls up. I want to get back to the calls. A little bit of football, a little bit of college football. We'll get to Emi choosing to sign a 3-year deal, $18 million per. Yankees and Mets not interested. Bellinger. Apparently, the Yankees have submitted another offer to Bellinger, as reported by John Heyman. We'll get to the Yankees' plans in the offseason because I just said them. Sign Bellinger. I'm not sure what else they're planning. We'll see. And what do the Mets have up their sleeves? And when is this offseason going to get underway? I know Emi signed. He had to. His closing period was today. And for a player who was supposed to get upwards of $200 million, this time last year, Murakami, the first baseman, third baseman, mainly first baseman, power hitter out of Japan, was going to get this massive $300 million contract. He was going to be the apple of the eye of the Yankees offseason. He signs a short-term deal for low money, or $17 million, I think, with the White Sox. Now, Emi, who earlier this year, this offseason, people were projecting possibly up to $200 million. That market completely collapsed, and he takes a 3-year deal with the Astros for $18 million guaranteed, I believe as much as $21 million if he hits his incentives, which isn't that hard if he's a decent starting pitcher. I think it's like 70 innings, 90 innings, 100 innings, three different incentives. As long as he's healthy and pitching well, those aren't high ceiling marks, although I don't know. I'm assuming because he's coming from Japan, he'll pitch every 6 day. But clearly the rest of Major League Baseball are telling you what the Mets and Yankees are telling you, that there really wasn't a market for this guy and nobody's a believer. So we'll see how that turns out. We'll get to that. But I want to get back to the calls. 888-808-1019. Tommy in Astoria. What's up, Tommy?
Hey, Chris. I had to call you on your last night. I think I called you on one of your first 2 shows.
Oh, so, well, thank you, Tommy.
Oh, he's sitting. I'm gonna miss that Pacino bit. That was always good.
Yes, the Pacino bit. Those are my favorite. I have a couple of monologues that, for whatever reason, I love watching and memorize them. The Al Pacino one is incredible.
Yeah.
Obviously, A Few Good Men that I've done a couple times on the air.
Yes.
And then another one that I think is great. I don't know how many people know this movie. It's called Malice with Alec Baldwin, Bill Pullman, and Nicole Kidman. And
right.
Alec Baldwin plays a very hotshot, slick, talented surgeon. It's like kind of a mystery, crime, thriller type thing. But he gets accused of messing up a surgery, and they bring in an old professor from his college who claims he has a God complex. And it's if you look up on YouTube, it's the God complex speech. The Alec Baldwin, it's excellent. It's really good. So those are things. I do like watching monologues. I Google best acting scenes and stuff like that all the time to watch that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I'm going to miss you saying Myriad.
You're playing bingo still?
Hot
Knife Through Butter, myriad of things. Apparently recently I've been saying a lot of I'm sorry before I preface things. So, yep, I have my things. There's no doubt about it.
But seriously, as a guy who works overnight, I'm happy you're going to have a normal lifestyle, because people don't understand when they work. It's like, it's just, even like today, I'm off. Even when you don't work, it's like, it's a zombie land.
Yes.
And I still get up at 3 a.m. even when I'm off. So it's a weird lifestyle.
It certainly is. Thank you, Tommy. Thank you for calling throughout the years, man. I appreciate you. I truly do.
On Saturdays.
We'll still talk on Saturdays. I am still doing Saturdays, and I'm doing 6 to 7 kind of by myself too. So we'll.
That's what I wanted to ask you.
Yeah.
How are you going to be going to Yankee games during the week?
Easier. I'm going to run out of here at 6:30 and go.
Oh, you're not on the air till 7?
No, the Yankees pregame is at 6:25.
Oh, so that works out perfectly.
Yeah. No. The one thing, and thank you so much. I'm already, my wife is obviously thrilled for me, because a lot of things come with this, and, you know, it's good for the career and everything, obviously, but I am, you know, she's now on the hook for a lot of stuff. I'm not going to get home until I'm going to take the train, and for those of you who do listen and are fans, I live in Warwick, New York, out in Orange County, so it takes a while to get home. So if I'm working till 7 on some nights, or 6:30, the train, probably, and I'm home at 8:30, 9, 9:30 at night, kids are, you know, just going to bed, kind of. So, but I'm any kind of practice, homework, off the bus, bath, showers, whatever, things that I've been home for every single night. That's going to change. I've been the one great thing about the overnight shift, because he mentioned the zombie, and he ain't kidding. And for the most part, I'm preaching to the choir, because you guys understand this as people who live this lifestyle. Even if you find a sleeping schedule that works for you eventually, and it took me about a year, I'll be honest with you. It took me about a year before I was really in a good place where I would get my 5, 6, 7 hours of sleep in the middle of the day. Like, it took a while for me to be able to do that. I had trouble staying asleep for stretches longer than 3 hours. I would have to wake up, kind of take a shower sometimes to help me like fall back to sleep. I know most people wake up with showers, but sometimes like a shower and getting back into bed kind of clean like that would help me fall asleep. But I would have to try and do things, you know, get up, walk around for a little bit, and then go back to sleep. I don't know. It was just, I would struggle with it. But I eventually found a pattern and got into a good spot where I was sleeping. But even if you get there's something about, and you know, there's always something to do, or there's someone you have to be there for, or this person, you know, the plumber's coming, or they're coming to clean the dryer vents, or whatever, like, he's got a doctor's appointment, you know, I got the call, you know, your son's not feeling well, whatever. Like, there's things that happen during the day that you just have to go take care of. And I'm the one home, and I'm not going to ask my wife to leave work so I can sleep. I got to take care of it. So you miss sleep all the time. There's no making it up. And even if you do get the sleep, there is a constant state of a zombie-like life. In the 2.5 years I've experienced it, there just is. You're never quite, like, you're just always a little bit out of it, a little bit tired, a little bit, like, there's just no ways around. And for me, too, and for most people, I would think, if you're a Monday through Friday kind of worker, you don't keep the overnights on the weekend. Like, you don't sleep all day Saturday and all day Sunday, and then just sit around your house at 3 o'clock in the morning. You know, I can't do it because I can't just sleep the whole day with my kids. I want to see my kids and spend time with my kids and coach and Little League and all that stuff. So it's not like I'm sleeping during the day and keeping that schedule. So for 5 days of the week, you're the overnight schedule. For the 2 days on the weekend, you're keeping the normal schedule. You're kind of all over the place. And it's just like a zombie life existence. If I get comfortable anywhere, I'll fall asleep. Like, it's just it's a different lifestyle. And that's what makes it unique, because Tommy understands it. And the callers to this show, a lot of them understand it. And a lot of people don't. And people just go, oh, God, how do you do that? I don't know. I don't know how you do it. You just do it. Pardon us, everybody who's looking for a normal talk show. Today's going to be a little bit like this. We're going to talk a little bit about this 2.5 years with me, talk to different callers about it. So I apologize if you're just tuning in looking for some hard talk sports. We'll get it. We'll get there. We're also having a little bit of fun here on this last overnight. Eric in Rockland County. What's up, Eric?
How's it going, C-Mac?
Good. How are you, buddy?
I can't complain. Much like everybody else is feeling the same way, but we're going to miss you on the late night, but congrats on the new gig.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. I wanted to, because you're such a big Giant fan, I wanted to run my opinion. If they were to able to make 4 quick moves, I know Ray Agnew is the assistant general manager of the Detroit Lions. Legit, he's a former Giant himself. Great replacement for Joe Shane if they decide to make that move. Clint Kubiak could be your head coach. Mm-hmm. Coach him from Seattle. Offensive guy, worked with Geno Smith. Now he's working with Sam Darnold. Travis Switzer being the offensive run game coordinator for the Ravens with that dynamic attacking running style with Jackson Dart. Seems like that would be a fit. And then getting Al Harris, the D-backs coach from the Chicago Bears, but for the defensive coordinator. Do you think those 4 moves would work or what?
Well, unfortunately, the first one's not going to work because I don't think Joe Shane's going anywhere. So I don't think they're going to have another GM in here. And thank you for the well wishes. I don't think Joe Shane's coming in. The other ones, I don't mind Kubiak. I don't. If I'm going to hire an offense, if I'm going to hire a coordinator and I'm not going to hire an established head coach, I do want an offensive-minded head coach. You're right. He's worked with Geno Smith. Now, Geno Smith had a couple of good seasons. Last year wasn't all that good, and this year was a disaster, but not with him, obviously, but with the Raiders and Chip Kelly. And this year with Sam, but Sam had kind of established himself as well. It's not like he necessarily turned Sam into this. Sam had a great year last year with O'Connell and Minnesota. But I would not have a problem with that. That's as good a name as some of the others if I'm not going to take an established head coach, but I would really like a coach with NFL head coaching experience. I absolutely would. I'm open to any of the other hires you said. The run coordinator he's not Lamar Jackson, clearly, but I do think he's got that element into him where I literally view Jackson Dart as a runner. Like, I do. I think that's going to be part of his game. I don't think he's just an athletic quarterback who can do it. I think he's an exceptional runner of the football. I think he knows how to wait for blocks. I think he is extremely talented at running the football and understanding how to run, how to move, how to make guys miss, how to set up blocks. Like, he's not like Daniel Jones to me, and I talked about this the other day. Daniel Jones just happened to be a really athletic, fast quarterback who they could design runs for. I'm not saying they couldn't, and they did. And he was able to scramble and run. But, like, to me, he was just fast enough to get around the edge. Or if he saw a play breakdown, he could just run straight and get you a bunch of yards because he was athletic. I didn't view him as the shifty kind of runner who could set up blocks and you know, run the RPO as well as Jackson Dart can. So Lamar Jackson, a coach that's worked with the run game of Lamar Jackson, and obviously Henry and just, you know, Hill and some of the different guys that have been there for years in Baltimore, yeah, I'm not opposed to that. But one, I think you're looking at the same GM. I don't think Joe Shane's going anywhere. And as much as I respect Kubiak, and it wouldn't be a disaster hire for me, I'm looking for someone with NFL head coaching experience. They've done that enough. Pat in the Bronx. What's up, Pat?
How you doing, Chris?
Good. How are you, Pat?
I'm glad to talk to you.
I'm glad to talk to you. Thank you for calling.
It's been a great 2.5 years. I'll say that when you started out, I mean, I'm not going to analyze you, but I'd say when you started out, you were a little gruff, a little quick with the callers, maybe not trusting of the callers. But as you got to know us, the family, you know, the people who call regularly, mm-hmm. you became more mellow. And I think that over the last couple of months especially, you've become very mellow. And I always appreciated your voice. And karaoke is a go-to for me as well. I go to something basso profundo. I think one Christmas I sang a line from The Grinch to you. My go-to song is 16 Tons. You know that song. Regarding the baseball season, this is a sports station, and mm-hmm. I wish you, of course, the best wish in your future very much. It seems to be a cold stove, and I've said this before to you and other people on the fan. I used to talk to Richard Nierlad and I talked to Larry Rubinson, and I said, basically, maybe everyone is just worried about what's going to happen next December with the collective bargaining agreement, and they don't know what's going to come of it, and maybe that's why they're being extra careful. And I think this Bellinger thing may be just too much to put Armand. It's not like Soto. If Soto gets off to a really hot start and the Mets are red hot, then no one's going to care about who got Bellinger. The Yankees, I think, their fans are going to care, but they're still going to fill the stadium just like Madison Square Garden gets filled. You know, so there'll always be Yankee fans in that stadium. Question is, will there be Mets fans if we start to hit the doldrums again?
Well, I mean, listen, who knows if there'll be Yankee fans if they hit the doldrums? They never hit the doldrums. I mean, they never hit the doldrums that the Mets have hit at different times where you're not making the playoffs. I mean, that's very rare unless, you know, Judge went down in 23, so you saw it there. But outside of that, it's been a long time since you've been in Yankee Stadium in August with no hope of the playoffs. And obviously that didn't happen for the Mets either last year. They were in it until the last game of the season. But it has happened to the Mets before. They were selling at the deadline in 23. I think a lot of it has to do with that. There's no doubt. There are some teams hesitant to spend. But mainly I think the asking prices are really high right now and no one's moving. I think that's what's happening right now. The two biggest names in the offseason right now as far as position players are Bellinger and Tucker, right? Bregman is a name, but his market is really moving slow. Bichette is another one, and we'll get to that. And the Yankees may be being interested or, you know, teams connected to Bichette. But those are the two big guys, and right now they're not moving. And I don't know what's going on with Tucker. Again, I talked about this the other day. I think there's some... You're seeing reports that there's a notion. One, it was reported the other day that the Yankees and Mets don't view him as New York. A New York guy who would be successful here in this market. You know, who knows if that's accurate. There was a report that said that. I had heard other reports over the course of the last few weeks that people wonder about his passion for the game. Now, I don't know if that's fair. From afar, watching him with the Cubs this season and the Astros in prior years, I mean, it's impossible to gauge that. But that has been some of the sentiment around him, and I think teams are very hesitant to give someone a long-term contract with guaranteed money like this if they're unsure about his passion for the game. Again, that is so hard to quantify and so hard to really comment on eloquently, but that's what you're hearing. So for whatever the reason, I mean, let's be honest, he's the biggest name without question. Last year was like a little bit of a frenzy to trade for him in last year's offseason. And he's by far the biggest name and best player available. It's not even close. And he like went to the Blue Jays facility and that's it. Like, that's it. Now, that doesn't mean things aren't happening behind the scenes. And I guess there was a report yesterday that the Mets have checked in on Kyle Tucker, which we've heard prior to this that they're not in the market for and that he's not a good fit for them. And I don't know if he is, right? You have to play him in right. You have to move Soto over to left. You know, he doesn't have that defensive flexibility to play center field. I mean, he's a really good bat, so he would fit anyone's lineup. But, you know, Bellinger's probably a better fit for the Mets, at least that. And then is Cohen, and not Cohen, I think he's willing to spend the money, but Stearns want to invest long-term into him. I don't know. So I'd be surprised if they are seriously significantly in on Kyle Tucker, but the report yesterday that they've at least broached the subject. But like outside of that, you just heard this report that the Mets talked to him a couple weeks ago. He went down to the Blue Jays spring training facility. Haven't heard a word. Have not heard a word about where he could possibly go or who's in on it. Not a word. And while those two guys linger, it's slowing up everything else. And specifically what the Yankees want to do, and I think the trade market for a lot of these teams, there's a lot of these controllable pitchers who seem to be available in the trade market, right? There's a couple of players from St. Louis looks like to be making a trade. They've already traded Contreras. There's some thought they could be looking to trade, you know, Donovan, a couple of different other players, obviously. Also, the third baseman that they've been trying to trade for 2 years. But I think that a lot of teams are looking to make those trade moves, but they don't know. Everyone's on hold until some of the bigger free agent signs to know what the trade market's going to yield or who you can trade. Like, I think specifically with the Yankees, there's no question in my mind they don't want to sign anybody to starting pitching. They want to go trade for a young controllable, or I would hope Peralta on a 1 year, $8 million contract. And I think they'd be willing to include Dominguez and or Spencer Jones in those packages. And they can't do that until they know they have a left fielder. So I think it's slowing down a lot of the market right now. But it is a brutally slow, drag it out offseason for Major League Baseball. They have to figure something out. Bill in Jackson. What's up, Bill?
Chris, C-Mac, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm not going to talk about sports. But I'm just going to talk a couple of things about my feelings towards your overnight show.
Okay.
I've lost sleep for the last 2.5 years, but it was very well worth it, okay? Your insight to sports, the way you broke down situations, was spot on for the last 2.5 years. When something happens in sports the night before, I couldn't wait to hear your opening monologue because you were just perfect. You were right on. And I think that a lot of the sports fans appreciate your honesty about the situation. You never missed words. You told it like it was. And I've been listening from Pete Franklin to Steve Summers, and you were a fresh voice to listen to. And it was well worth it to stay up overnight to speak to you. You're a great guy. But I'm very cautious, and congratulations that you're moving to the day, which I'll listen to, but I'm very cautious about you sharing the mic with your partner, because I think that you are by yourself were right on, and I just hope that you're able to be the same C-Mac that I listened to for over 2.5 years.
Well, Bill, that was very kind. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. And
I'm very close with Jerry Recco, mm-hmm. and C-Mac, LaPresti,
mm-hmm.
and I tell them all the time of how much I appreciate how honest, and also you get off the tangent sometimes with music and movies.
Yeah.
It's so refreshing. You're just a great guy.
Well, that's very kind, Bill. Thank you very much. I appreciate the kind words. And you said something in there that actually makes me think of the beginnings of my, and it was one of the, it was very nice, Bill. It's a compliment I appreciate very much and is one of the nicer things you could say to me, or at least that I would take it in a manner like that, because I fell in love with sports radio listening to Mike and the Mad Dog, not unlike many others. And what I loved about it, particularly because I first got into Mike and the Mad Dog when my Uncle Peter told me and my dad that Mike and Chris were doing post-game of the Yankees World Series games in 1996. And he said, oh, you got after the games, you got to turn on the fan. And I honestly, I was like, who's Mike and Chris? At that time, I really wasn't, I mean, was it 96? I'm 12, 13 years old. I had probably listened during the day but at different times. But I don't have, like, you know, me and my dad would listen to him from that moment on. But like early as a young kid, I don't have a lot of memories of necessarily listening. That was it. When I was told after the game, after the World Series game, Mike and Chris will be on. And I started listening to those post game. We would get the radio and put it on after the World Series. And then from that point on, what I loved about it and what I really thought was the best thing about that show was that the game before, the night before the game wasn't over until 1 o'clock in the afternoon the next day. Like, that's how I felt about it. Like, the excitement of the game would last through waiting to hear what Mike and Chris would say about it at 1 o'clock. Big Yankee playoff game, big win. I knew I had the entire next day to be pumped about it, and up until 1 o'clock when they would talk about it all day. I could not wait for 1 o'clock to continue the fun or the excitement or whatever. And that's really what made me fall in love with radio, because you had that connection. And to say that, you know, you couldn't wait to hear me after a big game, thank you, because that's exactly why I got into this. And that's what's the best part about the overnight. People have asked me that a couple times, you know, in the one or two interviews that people have actually been interested in me over the last 2.5 years. Or when anybody asked me about what's the best part of the overnight in podcasts I'm doing or whatever. I always say to me, the best part of the overnight, and I love you guys. I don't mean to say it's not talking to you, because that's it as well. But my favorite part of doing this show is the reaction to these games. I'm not necessarily the first voice always. You know, Keith, that night shift is the immediate voice some of these games, but it's still pretty close. It's still pretty raw. A tough loss, a great win. Especially, you know, I've loved the idea that I've had so many Nick playoff games, right? That's the other thing with Mike and Chris. They constantly talk about that 94 year. And, oh, they were flying to Houston. They were flying to Vancouver. They were doing this. Big game, big Ranger game, big Nick game, on after the game. You know, again, 96, pink Cadillac, doing the games, doing the post-game show after the 96 World Series. Like, that immediacy. And so to be able to come on after these Nick playoff games and go through the games and go through the moments, you know, I was obviously the overnight host here on after World Series games, breaking it down. I did special shows before the World Series, pre-gaming them. Like, but the immediacy of the game, the immediacy to react to it, and it's a different show than it is the next afternoon. It just is, at least in today's world, it is. It's a little bit different. You don't get necessarily into the nitty-gritty of every single play. It's kind of a broad conversation sometimes. And I've loved that aspect of it. I've loved the idea of after a big game, I'm on 2 or 3 hours later, and it's still raw for the fan base, and we go through it, and we break it down. We get angry, we get happy, most of the time angry around here, but I love that aspect of it. And thank you for that compliment, because that's why I got into it, because I love the idea that every game, and particularly for me, Yankee post games, I'll be honest, that was my favorite time. But the idea that every Yankee post game or big game didn't end the night of, that I could ride the excitement till 1 o'clock in the afternoon when Mike and Chris came on. That's really what made me love this, you know, sports radio. And the idea that I'm going to be doing that time slot is not lost on me. It's pretty crazy. I'm pretty excited about it, but still have another 2.5 hours to talk to you right here in the overnight. It's McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 888.
Hey, y'all, it's Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. Ever order furniture online and wonder, what if? Like, what if it doesn't fit?
Little to the left. No, wait!
Yep, should have gone with Wayfair. Or what if it doesn't hold up?
That sofa was 4 days old.
Should have ordered from Wayfair. Or what if it's that material that makes that noise?
It was a sofa, I swear.
With Wayfair, there's no what if. Just style you love, quality you can trust, and furniture that actually fits your life. Visit Wayfair.com or download the Wayfair app.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.
Springtime is almost here, and if you've been itching to redo every room in your home, Bob's Discount Furniture can help. When you shop at Bob's, you get wow-worthy everyday low prices on fabulous furniture for every room. Everything from stylish mid-century dining sets and top-rated Bob-O-Pedic mattresses with the best warranties in the business to pop-up sleeper sectionals, all for a fraction of what they cost elsewhere. So, stop in or shop online and get wow-worthy pieces for less. Only at Bob's.
True North Stores beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got a drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
We'll get into a little bit of baseball. I'll get more specific on what's going on with Bellinger, my thoughts on the Yankee offseason, and both the Mets and Yankees passing on Tatsuya Imai, the Japanese starting pitcher who went to the Houston Astros, impacting the Houston Astros, who did miss the playoffs last year, and it feels like they're kind of at the end of their run, but we'll see what he is. But clearly the market of him has collapsed. Clearly the market for a lot of people have collapsed. And we're waiting on Bellinger. As the Yankees apparently yesterday, according to John Heyman, made another offer and are waiting and don't feel like bidding against themselves. So they're just waiting as no one really seems to be wanting to sign any of these guys. 888-808-1019. Obviously a lot of football as well. Coming off an exciting college football game last night between Ole Miss and Ole Miss and Georgia, as Ole Miss pulled off the upset, 39-34. The final four will now be Oregon versus Indiana and Miami versus Ole Miss. Miami or Ole Miss will be in the national championship game. And we talked about this too, the high seeds, this new format. 1-7, the win by Indiana yesterday, the drubbing of Alabama, is the only team that has had a month-long layoff between games in this new format that have won. 1-7. We've seen a lot of upsets in this new tournament over the last couple of years. 888-808-1019. Mendoza played well. Didn't have to do all that much, but he threw 3 touchdown passes in the 38-3 absolute drubbing of Alabama. And Dante Moore, again, didn't really have to do all that much. Didn't throw a touchdown pass, threw 1 interception, but Oregon's defense was incredible. Shut down Texas Tech, which was a high pirate offense all year long, 23-0. And that game is going to be the quarterback game right there. Dante Moore and Mendoza. Jet fans, let's be honest, we're going to be more interested in that game than the Jet game, that's for sure. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Peter in Lawrence. What's up, Peter?
Hi, Chris.
Hey, Pete.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
I want to thank you for being a caregiver on the night shift, taking care of Dad, waiting for my niece to come home.
Mm-hmm.
If it wasn't for people like you and FAN, I probably would not have been able to get through 5 years of a living pursuit of making sure a father with dementia didn't leave the house. But I want to thank you for that and promoting my book. And talking about baseball,
mm-hmm.
the Hall of Fame ballot, who do you think is worthy of getting in?
Baseball or football?
Thinks his number should be retired. Do you think his number should be retired?
With the Yankees. First of all, A-Rod, in my opinion, should be in the Hall of Fame. I mean, he's one of the great baseball players ever. I would put all the steroid guys in there. And Peter, thank you very much, and I appreciate anything I did for you. You and all the callers have done for me in return. I appreciate that. Any help? You know, that's what radio is. Again, the ability to speak to many while sounding like you speak to just one. That is what's great about radio. It's very personal, even though I don't know how many, the millions and millions who are listening right now at 2:39 in the morning. I'm speaking to many, but I'm speaking to just you. That's right, you. No, you. Don't look around like that. You're driving. You. But yeah, so I appreciate that. And any help I could have done for you and your family, believe me. Just trying to do my job and entertain you. And if I did, I appreciate that. And I will continue to. Again, I don't want to make this seem like it's a goodbye show. It's just no longer doing the overnights. And this current, you know, the family that calls in all the time, this overnight family, we're just going to have a different relationship, you and I. But as far as the Hall of Fame and retiring numbers, I may put them all in. Like, that's, I've been saying this for years. They should, and this is unfortunate for guys like, you know, Ken Griffey Jr. or Derek Jeter and guys who've never been under the suspicion, but unfortunately they played in an era where they are under the suspicion. And I would put everyone in this era who played from the early 90s through the mid-2000s in the Hall of Fame, and on every single plaque I would put played under the suspicion of steroids. And anyone who failed the test, like Alex Rodriguez, I would put that he failed the test or that he admitted to taking steroids on multiple occasions. I would put that stuff. But for me, that's, I don't know how you tell the story of baseball without Alex Rodriguez, without Barry Bonds, without Roger Clemens. They belong in the Hall of Fame. Now, as far as Alex Rodriguez's number being retired, I would say I don't know if I would retire Alex Rodriguez's number if I was making the decisions for all of the numbers ever retired by the New York Yankees. If they clean the slate clean and unretired every single number and then said, Chris, it's up to you which numbers you're retiring, A-Rod would not make the list. I don't think so. I don't know. I'm torn. I would lean towards no. I'd like to make it more exclusive. But considering who's already in, without question, he should be. He's as worthy as, and I know this is going to get, you know, maybe people get upset. Reggie Jackson, yes, he won two World Series. Yes, he was Mr. October. He was the straw that stirred the drink. He played 6 years for the New York Yankees. Alex Rodriguez played, what, 12, 13? He won two MVPs. He won a championship. Like, if Reggie Jackson is a retired number for the New York Yankees, how in the world is Alex Rodriguez not? How is Alex Rodriguez not? So, to me, considering the parameters they have already set with who gets retired, Alex Rodriguez, 100%. He played over a decade. He won a championship. He won multiple MVPs. He hit his 500th home run, his 600th home run in a Yankee uniform. There's no doubt in my mind, Alex Rodriguez, if you are going to put in the likes of Reggie Jackson, again, I'm not knocking Reggie Jackson as a player or even as a Yankee, but he played a handful of years. Like, to me, you should have to play at least a decade with the New York Yankees. At least. He played 6 years, won two championships, and he's retired. So if you're going to retire Reggie Jackson's number, Alex Rodriguez absolutely should be retired. So if you were asking me today, would I retire Alex Rodriguez's number? Without question. Without question. If I could clean the slate, completely wipe it clean, and pick and choose from the beginning of Yankee history, I don't think I'd put, maybe Alex doesn't make it. But I would have a hell of a lot less numbers retired than they have now. Mike in Floral Park. What's up, Mike?
Hey, C-Mac. How are you?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, sir.
Good.
What's going on?
First time, long time. I just wanted to give you a call on your last night. And
thank you.
Talk to you about something that I've been thinking about recently. In terms of teams, preventing teams from tanking, do you think it would ever be possible that leagues would reward the teams that just missed out on the playoffs? For example, like the team that has the best record that doesn't make right, the playoffs would get the number one pick and go from there?
No.
So that it would make teams be more competitive so that either they make the playoffs or they would get the better draft pick?
No. I do not think that. I don't like that idea. No. I still want to improve the lesser teams. Right? I understand, you know, I want to incentivize them not to tank, but you can't say, you know, they're not as good as a team that's going to, you could win 9 games and miss the playoffs. Like, that's a good football team, right? The Bucks literally can win 9 games. I think they're 8-8. Are they, let me double check that. Maybe they're 7-8. The Bucks are now 7-9, right? I'm sorry. So they could win 8 games theoretically. Because they could win this game and still miss out on the playoffs if Atlanta wins. So the Bucks are a good team. They could win 8 games and miss the playoffs. I'm trying to think who would. The Colts could win this week and win 9 games and miss the playoffs. The Pittsburgh Steelers could lose this game and win 9 games and miss the playoffs. So, like, you could have a 9-win team miss the playoffs. That's a good football team, 9 wins. And you want to give them the first round pick? It's not. That's not incentivizing anything because, like, it's not helping the lesser teams enough. Yeah, you're right. It incentivizes them to go out there and try and win because you want to get as high in the standings as you can. But to just say we're going to take every non-playoff team and the best records get the best overall picks, that's not helping the teams that need it the most. I want to incentivize them and give them a reason to play well down the stretch of the year, but I don't want to ignore them. I still want to improve them. I want them to get the first overall pick. That's why I like the point system that apparently someone told me the female hockey league does with their draft. It is a point system. Once you are eliminated from the playoffs, the next game you play, after you get eliminated, the next game you play, you start accruing points towards the draft. You get points for, I would do it so you get points for a lot, of, not just wins, but you would get points for touchdowns, you get points for wins, more points for wins, but you could even get points for touchdowns, points for interceptions, points for sacks. I don't know. You could, literally, to make sure they get points, like even if it's not just winning, you have to go out there and play well. But you get more points for winning games. But you incentivize good play and winning football from these lousy teams the last bit. And that helps them in the draft. And it would give reason for fans to root for winning because you get more points towards the first pick. And it still helps the bad teams because they're going to have the most games to accrue these points. They're going to be the ones who are eliminated first. They're going to be the ones who are out of the playoffs first. So they'll have the most games to try and accrue points. I think that makes as much sense as anything else. I like it better than the lottery. I think that's an interesting concept. Once you're eliminated, now you if you just lose and get your ass kicked week in and week out, you're not going to accrue enough points. Someone might step up and win a couple games and score. Like right now, the Falcons, right? The Falcons would be a team that would be high on the draft, I would think. Not, you know, just off the top of my head. I don't know when they were eliminated, but they've won 3 games in a row. They've won 3 games in a row. They absolutely pounded the. I mean, that game ended up obviously being close, but physical. Like, they were all over the Rams in that game. The Vikings have been on a surge 4 games in a row. When were they eliminated? Right now, the Minnesota Vikings would be looking at probably a good draft pick. So, like, that's, I think that makes a lot of sense. The Miami Dolphins, right, had won a handful of games after being lousy at the start of the year and have put up some points. I like that better than I like just, you know, let's give it to the better teams that didn't make it. Tony in Fairfield. What's up, Tony?
Hey, Chris. How are you?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Good. Hey, listen, Happy New Year. Close
Happy
for
New
two
Year.
Reasons. No, number one, to congratulate you. I've been a long, long, long time listener, way back to when Joe Beningo started, and you've done a great job, and the promotion's well-deserved. And, you know, I always told my kids, and I tell my grandkids now, that if something comes along that you really like and relish in life, enjoy it, because nothing lasts forever.
That is true.
And you've been a great addition, and I'll continue to listen in the afternoon, but as you well know, calling in and drive time radio is much different than the overnight. For both of us.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, it's a different element. It's a different show. I'm much more reliant on the call. We take more calls. Yeah, it's a different thing.
Yeah, easier to call, more of a family thing.
Yep.
But much more about sports overall than any specific issue. And just want to say one other thing.
Mm-hmm.
After watching and discussing for weeks all this, you know, tanking, not tanking.
Yeah.
I think you got a great idea. My thought was, maybe when you get to week 12, when there's 6 games left, you take the maybe the bottom 10 teams based on record and all ties, and then go to some kind of point system. Points, you know, points scored, points allowed, touchdowns, and that kind of thing, and then reseed those teams. So that's all I wanted to say. Yeah. Good luck to you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that, Tony. No, I don't know if I like that, just taking the best, the six teams and start accruing points, because there could be a wild swing between quality of teams between the sixth and the first. I still want the worst team in the league to have the benefit of having the best opportunity to get the first overall pick. I still want that. I still think that's warranted. I still want the worst record to have the best chance. I just want, it's more, it's not even as much about the team as is about the fan base having, and the team, you know, going out there to try and win it. They don't even have to win the game. I just want, as a fan, to turn the game on and root for my team to play well and win. That's it. That's what I want. I never want to turn on the game and think my team is benefiting from losing. That I want them to lose because that's what's beneficial. And right now, I don't care what anybody says. I really don't. You cannot convince me that the Giants are not better served losing this football game. I wanted to talk about this a little bit. I might as well do it now real quick. You know, Eli Manning, right? And I said this a couple weeks ago when the Cowboys had beaten the Eagles and the Chiefs in back-to-back weeks, and they were the trendy pick to go on a run, right? Teams even picking them to go to the Super Bowl in the NFC. The defense had kind of solidified itself. The passing attack was top of the league. Lamb and Pickens were as good a duo as anybody in football. And has fallen apart on them since. Well, I shouldn't say fallen apart, but they're not that team. They're eliminated, blah, blah, blah. And I talked about how much I would like to see the Giants, if that game where they needed that game against the Giants to get into the playoffs, how cool it would be for Jackson Dart and the New York Giants to beat the Cowboys the last game of the year and ruin their chance of getting in. That's the type of thing against a divisional opponent who has kicked the Giants' ass for the last decade, exclusively. Like, the 2016 team that won 11 games and went to the playoffs, that's the last time the Giants have beaten the Cowboys. That season they beat them twice. The Cowboys had a great year. They were the division winner and the number one seed, I believe, in the NFL. It was Dak's rookie year. And the Giants were their only two losses. They haven't beaten them since. So, Jackson Dart beating a division rival who was hot, about to head into the playoffs and be a trendy pick to make it deep into the NFC playoffs, that would have enticed me enough maybe to consider weighing that and the development of that and what that could mean for Jackson Dart over the tank, right? And at that point, I didn't think the Giants were in a position to have the first overall pick. So, like, that could have changed my mind. Now, that scenario doesn't exist right now. And the Cowboys don't need the game, and they're not even going to play Dak Prescott the entire game. And so for me, it's totally different than Eli Manning. And I tried to harken back to Eli Manning when I had that conversation a couple weeks ago, because Eli won that final game against the Cowboys, and it kind of propelled him into the next season. The Giants go on and make the playoffs. They have a disastrous playoff game against the Carolina Panthers, but they become a winning franchise, at least, you know, for the next 10 years with Eli Manning from that moment on. And I don't think you can make the parallels to that. I really don't. For a couple of different reasons. One, Eli Manning was god-awful. Like, Eli Manning, in the first five starts of that season for him after they decided to move on from Kurt Warner, was brutally bad. Couldn't complete a pass. He had like a 40% completion percentage. He was awful. There was a game against the Ravens. They couldn't even function as a team with him at quarterback. You had the likes of Jeremy Shockey and, yes, the great Tiki Barber, who, I don't know, it felt like didn't take him seriously. His aw shucks nature in the huddle and everything, you heard about that. Like, it just, and to completely understandable, excuse me, completely understandable. They were furious that they passed up on a 5-4 team that had a chance to win with Kurt Warner, and they gave it to this young kid and tanked the season because he couldn't play. So you had a bunch of veterans looking for an opportunity to win at the end of their career. Obviously, Tiki only played one more year and then retired, or two more years and then retired. You're looking to, you know, you're getting veterans to try and win here, and they're tanking the season for this young kid. And it just, he needed that. He needed that. He needed that win to at least have some kind of confidence to build on. Jackson Dart's been great. Let's be honest. Yeah, a game against Minnesota that they didn't really give him a chance to be good in, and he wasn't. Monday night against the Patriots, he got beat up a little bit, but was kind of had a fumble and a bad pick against the Saints. But I mean, he was offensive rookie of the month. He beat the Eagles in commanding fashion. They beat the Chargers. He was leading against the Broncos. He's leading against the Bears. Like, he's proven. He just won this game. He's proven. Not proven to be a next franchise quarterback, but he's proven enough where this game doesn't matter. He's proven enough where there's excitement going into next year. He's proven enough where the fan base and the team is confident in him moving forward. He doesn't need this win the way Eli Manning needed that win against the Cowboys. He doesn't need it. He doesn't have, there's nothing to prove in this game against the Cowboys. I'm sorry. He just doesn't need it, and he should not play the whole game. They need to lose this football game. I hate saying it. I hate saying it. And part of the reason I was so mad with the Raider game is that I didn't know this leading into it. They said it during the broadcast at the beginning of the game that they guaranteed themselves the number one pick with a loss, that it didn't matter what they did against the Cowboys the next week if they lost to the Raiders. So I was hoping they lost to the Raiders so I could root for them to beat the Cowboys. But now I can't. Because if they go through this entire season of being freaking awful and blowing all these games and the dysfunction and the firing of this one after firing the coach, firing the coordinator, firing this one, like that one, defensive line coach had to go because they're arguing over where to sit on the plane. Think about that for a second. A defensive line coach got fired because there was an argument about seats on the plane. They are a complete mess, joke, laughingstock. If I had to go through another complete joke mess laughingstock of a season to pick seventh, I'm going to be pissed. Going to be pissed. I'm not going to be thinking about, well, Jackson Dart won this final game against the Cowboys. It should be good up until next season. It doesn't mean a thing. He's proven enough. The game doesn't matter. Sit everybody. Sit everyone. Dexter Lawrence doesn't play. Abdul Carter doesn't play if he's sick. Wandell Robinson, you've got your 1,000 yards. Anybody in free agency who is interested in you doesn't need to see you play against the Cowboys. Keep your ribs, buddy. Eat oatmeal. My mother always told me they sticks to them. Like, that's it. Everybody sits. Jackson Dart should not play the complete game. Make sure you lose. And I hate saying that. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. We'll come back. We'll do a little bit of baseball, but continue your calls as, yes, this is the final overnight. It's not the last time you'll be hearing from me. Obviously, you're going to be hearing more of me. But it is the last time I'll be talking to you, this overnight family that I have grown accustomed to and have grown fond of over the last 2.5 years. So we'll continue to take your calls on that, on anything you want to talk about. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Be right back.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
True North Stores beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free.
Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got a drink for you. As a true rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy six and get the seventh free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.
Graybar helps you install faster and smarter with kitting, staging, wire carts, Graybar smart reels, and delivery notifications. We take the hassle out of your job site so you can focus on what you do best, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.